the cross, but man rejected. Yes, my soul did he to thee. Tis a long expected prophet, David's son, yet David's Lord. By his son, God now has spoken. Tis the true and faithful word.
Team, you guys may be seated. Your hope is on him. Yep. I've looked forward all week to sharing this sermon with you guys today. A sermon entitled The More Perfect Tabernacle. We'll begin in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 again. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sin. Verse 4. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. Aaron, from the tribe of Levi, was the first high priest. And his sons were called to be priests. And we looked at this last week, and we looked at the tabernacle, and we looked at this first and second temple that was built on the same blueprint of the tabernacle. It was the tabernacle where Aaron and his sons were first called to stand before the Lord. Exodus 29, verse 4. And Aaron and his sons, who you shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall wash them with water. The first and second temples were based on the tabernacle. And we spoke last week about the third temple that the Jews are wanting to build. The Bible foretells this. It'll also be based on this tabernacle. Today I want to take a closer look at the tabernacle itself and discover what it teaches us. So next slide, Levi. The tabernacle, the word means to dwell, dwelling place. It was a tent complex that God instructed Moses to build. And this is where God would meet with Moses and the people. Hence the name, Tabernacle of Meeting. The tabernacle represented God's presence with the people. And at certain times, God's glory would rest upon and fill the tabernacle. See one incident in Exodus 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. God's literal presence dwelling among the people. And they were able to behold His glory as they encamped around the tabernacle. The glory of God. Apostle John wrote, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know he's referencing Jesus Christ. And in verse 14, he says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That word dwelt there in the Greek means to pitch a tent. To set up a tent. To dwell right there. The Word, who is God, dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. Just like the tabernacle in the Old Testament. What is the tabernacle telling us? What is the tabernacle trying to reveal, not only to us, but to the whole world? Next slide, Levi. Here's a basic diagram of the tabernacle. So you know it was enclosed. There was only one entryway in. And you had the red square there is the altar of sacrifice. The blue is the water basin. And then you had the main tent complex were two rooms. The first room was called the holy place. And inside you had the table of showbread, the candle stick, the menorah, the light. And then you had the altar of incense that gave a sweet aroma into the air. And behind the altar of incense was the veil, a 60-foot curtain. Not here in the tabernacle, but eventually in the temple. But here was still a thick curtain in the tabernacle that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Where inside rested the Ark of the Covenant. And inside the Ark of the Covenant was three items. There was the Ten Commandments given to Moses, representing God the Father. He's the one that gives the lawgiver. Then there was the bowl of manna, the bread that fell from heaven to feed the people in the wilderness. And then there was Aaron's rod, a dead piece of wood that came back to life and sprouted leaves and something from the dead coming to life. Like I said, the Ten Commandments represented the Father. The bread of manna represented Jesus Christ. And the Aaron's rod represented the Holy Spirit that brings dead things back to life. mainly us who are dead in our sins and trespasses. There's the tabernacle complex right there. And only the high priest could come in and go all the way to the Holy of Holies, enter into the presence of God, of Yahweh, the triune God, the one God who is three and three that are one. Only the high priest. Everybody else was kept out. Now, we've learned so far in this study that Jesus came as the great high priest, a better high priest. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 says this: "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come and the greater and more perfect tabernacle. Not made with hands. That is not of this, of the creation, this creation. A greater and more perfect tabernacle." Jesus is our great high priest who entered a more perfect tabernacle. The physical tabernacle was just a representation of a heavenly reality. So let's look at some of those verses, some more verses, so we can understand the mystery of this tabernacle. Jesus is our high priest. We understand that. Now let's go to John chapter 1, verse 29. "The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Jesus came to be the sacrifice. The sacrifice needed. The perfect sacrifice. And he was a sacrifice upon the cross for us. Philippians 2:8. "Jesus, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." So he was our sacrifice upon the cross. Now, I want to show you this. John chapter 3, verse 3. "Jesus answered to him, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, heaven.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time through his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Most surely I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.'" And he goes on to say, "One must be born again to see heaven." So he repeats it. This is important. And Jesus said, "You must be born of water and the Spirit." Now, let me ask you something. Is there any water on earth that can cleanse a person's soul from sin? No. There is no such thing as holy water. There is no water that cleanses us. So what is this born of water mean? Now, some say it's water baptism. But water baptism happens after you're born again. Baptism itself has nothing to do with salvation. You do it as an obedient act to testify to the world publicly what Christ has already done on the inside. So this born of water cannot be baptism. Then others say, well, it's physical birth. When the woman gives birth, her water breaks. So one must be born alive to be able to be born again by the Spirit. Is that what God is telling us? If a person is not alive, if they're never born or they're not alive, can they be born again? No, because you have to believe and you have to repent. To say someone has to be born alive to be saved is redundant. This is not talking about being born of a woman. Nicodemus is confused here because he says, Can a person go back into his mother's womb? He's taking physical here. And Jesus says, no, there's a fleshly birth and then there's a spiritual birth. And this spiritual birth is done by water and the Spirit. You must be born of water and the Spirit. Just like you have a physical birth, you have to have this spiritual birth. So So the only thing this water, one born of water, can be, water is symbolic. Spiritual cleansing, purification. We see this symbolism in Ephesians 5, verse 26. That he, Jesus in context, might sanctify and cleanse her, in context is the church, with the washing of water by the word. You see, a sinner must hear the word of God. A sinner must hear the gospel. You see, the Holy Spirit's out in the world, working through churches, working through ministries, working through individual believers, working in many ways to get the truth to people, to start drawing them to the cross. And through the preaching and the teaching and the proclaiming of the gospel, sinners hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But it must be spoken. That's why we're called to be his witnesses. And the Holy Spirit uses that to draw people, to convict people of their sin. John 16, verse 8 says this, "And when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will convict the world of sin." Well, how will they believe if they've not heard? And how will they hear unless someone is sent to proclaim? And when they do, the Holy Spirit uses the word of God that they hear the gospel, and he convicts them of their sin, of righteousness which they lack, and the righteousness of Christ that they need, and of judgment. For if they don't have that righteousness, if they don't turn from their sins, they'll fall under judgment. The Holy Spirit convicting people through the hearing of the word, of being told of Jesus' death and sacrifice on the cross, bringing the person to a place of understanding of their sin and their need of a Savior. Now let's go back to the tabernacle. Click one time, Levi. This first part inside the tabernacle is the gospel. The gospel is made possible only because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Without the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross and then the resurrection, the gospel has no power. It means nothing. And so as the high priest would enter the tabernacle, he first had to deal with the sacrifice. The sacrifice was first. It was needed before he could enter into the Holy of Holies. And the same with us as believers today. But sinners, they must understand the sacrifice made the gospel possible. So click one time, Levi. The cross came first. The cross came first. So we could hear the word, the gospel, the washing of water by the word. You see, the Holy Spirit takes the gospel, convicts us, gives us eyes to see. And we see Jesus dying for us. And we're convicted of our sin because our sins sent him to the cross. So when the person hears the gospel and the Holy Spirit brings conviction, it's starting the washing process. It's starting to want the person to make the person want and need Jesus Christ and be found in him. Now, the next part of the tabernacle is the holy place, where we find the bread, the candlestand, the altar of incense, the sweet aroma. The only way for a sinner to be saved from their sin is to enter into the holy place. As there is only one holy place in the tabernacle, there is only one who is holy. Luke 1 verse 35. Then the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. He is the only one that is holy. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, of having your sins forgiven, being reconciled back to the Father. All that is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. And who He is, and how good He is, and how righteous He is. Not us. In Him. John 6:35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. We don't live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And Jesus is the word that became flesh. Jesus said, partake of me. John 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness any longer, but have the light of life. And this one, I love this verse. Ephesians 5, 2. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. For what? A sweet smelling aroma. Because his sacrifice was perfect. And it was the will of the Father. And Jesus said, I always do what pleases my Father. And he laid his life down. That perfect, righteous life. And that sacrifice was a sweet smelling aroma to the Father. We go back to the tabernacle. And what we see in the holy place is this. Go ahead and click, Levi. It represents Jesus himself. The Holy One. In John 14:6, Jesus said, he's the only way to the Father. Go ahead and click, Levi. Right there. Go to that verse. Next word, Levi. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus slams the door on every world religion, every spiritual system out there, every belief that is not Him and Him alone. You see, the tabernacle is the plan of salvation. The plan and the salvation that God had before the foundation of the world. It is the gospel that was preached to Abraham. The gospel spoken of by David and the Old Testament prophets. The gospel that John the Baptist prepared the people to receive. The gospel Jesus preached himself and gave his life for. The gospel that still saves people to this day. In the gospel, we are commanded to proclaim to a lost world. This tabernacle that Moses was instructed to build was always pointing the people to their Messiah. To have faith, not in a human high priest, and not in sacrifices of bulls and lambs, but the one who would be the ultimate perfect sacrifice. The suffering servant of Israel. The one David foresaw in Psalms 22 when he says, they pierced my hands and my feet. Next slide, Levi. The tabernacle. It's the blueprint for the first and second temple. The second temple that Jesus walked into. The building that was pointing to him. That's why Jesus said this in John chapter 2, verse 19. Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said to him, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. And yeah, that temple had taken 46 years. Herod had built onto it and made it a pretty amazing complex. But that whole complex was focused on the holy place and the holy of holies. And the sacrifice that was required and the washing of the water by the word to save the soul. And Jesus was saying, it's all about me. The same temple that Jesus stood outside and said this was pointing the people right to him. The same temple that did have that 60-foot veil separating everyone from God. That same veil that was torn when Jesus cried from the cross, "It is finished." And he gave up his spirit. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. This is the hope. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus entered a more perfect tabernacle. Tabernacle that always pointed to him. But he went before the Father with his own blood, his life for ours. And he secured our reconciliation back to the Father. You see, upon his death, after that 60-foot veil was torn in two, down the middle, from top to bottom, there was no longer any need for that temple. The temple that was based on the tabernacle, it was complete. It had done what it was supposed to do. There was no more need for sacrifices. There was no longer a need for a human high priest. Because Jesus came as the great high priest. And he ripped the veil that kept not just the human high priest, but everybody else from entering and being reconciled back to God. Fully, completely restored. So the question I asked you guys last week, why do the Jews want a third temple? And unfortunately, and it's a sad thing to say, but some of the Jews, not all of them, but the majority, are still rejecting Jesus Christ, just as they did in the day that he came to the temple. They still want to approach God through a temple and a human high priest. And that's why they want a third temple. And there will be a third temple built. We talked about that last week. But you see, a third temple, what it actually represents, in reality, the Jews still rejecting Jesus. And that's why I would never donate to this third temple. The Jews don't need a third temple. They need Jesus Christ. They need to have faith in Jesus. And one day they will. The Bible is very clear. One day the Jews will look on him whom they pierce, and they will mourn. But until that day, they're going to build a third temple. God has foretold us in the scriptures they will do this. Next slide, Levi. Now you notice I added a word there at the opening. The pilgrimage. We talked about the pilgrimage road that's been discovered. That was started from the Pool of Siloam and went up to the temple complex. A 600-meter trek. And I said, all of you have taken this trek. If you're born again, you have. And it wasn't on that literal road. But your pilgrimage started. And it's different for each one of us. It started when the Holy Spirit started to convict you and called you. And whatever circumstances He used to get your attention so you could hear the gospel. The gospel made possible only by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He started to call you. He started to use in life circumstances. Whatever He did, you started a pilgrimage. And you didn't realize you did, but you did. You started a pilgrimage towards the moment when God was going to give you the opportunity to believe, to repent and believe. And He got each one of us to that moment. And we understand Jesus' death for us. We understood our sin. We understood we needed Jesus. He was our only hope. And we were ready to turn from our sins. Our minds had been changed on who we are and the life we've been living. And now we want to follow Christ. And we call out. We believe with the heart, but confession also with the mouth. And we call out on the name of the Lord. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, we found our way by the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God. We found our way into the holy place, the Holy One, to be found in Christ. And when you're found in Christ, He reconciles us to the Father. And that veil was torn. Go ahead. Philippians chapter 3. Come on up, team. Philippians chapter 3. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You see, the knowledge of the tabernacle is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's everything. It doesn't matter what goes on in this world. This is the most important knowledge on the face of the planet. There's nothing more important than this. And that's why Paul says, I count all things lost. If I can have the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Not having my own righteousness. No, we don't have any. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the resurrection, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And you see, all those who put their faith in Christ, all those who find themselves by the grace of God in Christ, one day we will dwell in the heavenly tabernacle. The greater one. The one not of this creation. The one not made by our hands. Revelation chapter 21. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. All based on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ alone. We're about to sing a song. It's called El Shaddai. I sang it a couple weeks ago, but I wanted to sing it again because this song talks about the plan of God from Abraham on forward and how the Jewish people just missed His plan. And that's what we're still seeing today with this temple, the third temple they want to build. They're still missing it. Their eyes are still blind. But one day they'll see. One day they'll see. But we should be so thankful. So thankful that our eyes were open, because once we were blind and we were ignorant of the excellent knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we may have been lost in religion or lost in sin, but we were lost until the Holy Spirit opened our eyes and allowed us to see. And that's why we're a church. Because we've been given eyes to see and ears to hear. And we've been called to be salt and light in a very dark place. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the grace and mercy you have shown us. I thank you, Lord, for the knowledge, the wonderful, excellent knowledge of your word, of the tabernacle, of the temple of Jesus Christ, the more perfect tabernacle in heaven. Lord, we thank you for coming and being our high priest, and being the sacrifice, and being the holy place, that we may find refuge and salvation. Lord, I thank you for this excellent knowledge from your word. And I ask you to help us not only to see it and visualize it clearly, but maybe by your grace we can share it with others. There's only one way to the Father. Through the death, sacrifice of Jesus. It's through the hearing of the gospel, the washing of the water by the word, the Holy Spirit drawing us into the holy place. And through Jesus, we have access to the Father. Lord, help us to share this with people. They need to hear it. And we praise you, Lord, for calling us and finding us and bringing us out of darkness into your light. We do praise you, Lord. You are better than we deserve. You are so much better than we deserve. You are great. You are wonderful. You are glorious. And we praise you this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen. Why don't you guys go ahead and sing, stand up, and we'll sing this last song.
El Shaddai, El Shaddai.
If you know anyone, if there's anyone in here, if you know anyone, and religion may have taught them some bad things, no one is worthy to enter that tabernacle. But the Holy Spirit draws us there. And through the death of Christ, and through the washing of the water by the Word, you can believe. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. God will give you the faith, or God will give that person you know the faith if they understand they're a sinner and they're separated. All people need to be found in the holy place. But to enter into the holy place, Jesus said you must repent and believe. And you can come in. And he washes us clean in his blood. And we're reconciled back to the Father. This is the message we must take people. And I've told you the sad statistic. 95% of professing believers will never share the gospel with one person in their life. Sharing the gospel means sharing the tabernacle. Everything about it. That's the gospel. Telling people God loves you or Jesus loves you is not the gospel. We have a mandate, folks. Someone shared it with us. We need to share it. Maybe you get a chance this week. I'll pray for that. I'll pray for that you have a chance this week to share it. You may not, but you might. All right, Team Jesus, let's break out of here. Count of three. One, two, three. Break. Let's go.